Thank you for the singing. Well, Jesus has been shown forth by John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the one that said, "He must increase, I must decrease. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he says here in John chapter 4, verse 1, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but the disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." You see, he was on a mission. He had something very important to tell to a lady who was from Samaria. And the devil tried to hinder the Lord from going there, and he threw this fuss among the Pharisees and these disciples and just trying to get off track. But friends, we must keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is people going to heaven, right? The purpose of preaching is to help people find eternal life through the gift of salvation through Jesus. The only way you'll go to heaven is if you're born again, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So he's concerned about this woman from Samaria. In verse 5, "Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour," that's high noon. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." He was 100% God, the Son of God, 100%, but he was made flesh and dwelt among us, and he got thirsty. His body got tired, and he'd been walking a long way, and he was thirsty. Only two places in the Bible where he was thirsty. One on the cross where he died for our sins, right? And the other one right here. And I don't see him drinking either way, because he is the water. Amen. In John chapter 4 and verse 8, "And his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then," verse 9, "saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Down in verse 15, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Let's pray together. Father, I'm so thankful today that that water is available through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you would make thirsty those who are in need today of a Savior. Lord, be with me and help me, Lord, to say what you say. And we love you and thank you for all your blessings upon this church. Thank you so much for your answers to prayer. I pray for you and right now, Lord. Father, she's probably one of the most sweetest and precious women in our church. And Lord, I just ask you to help her and also Miss Gina as they recover in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it something how they're best friends and their yards back up to each other, and they've been friends for years, and both of them are sick at home. And so you pray for them. So Jesus here is concerned about this woman of Samaria, and we ought to be concerned about souls, that's for sure. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I mean, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I'm thankful there's still an old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church here on this corner of Glendale, because there's sure a lot of cars that come by here every single day and every single week. And a lot of people need the Lord, don't they? We're needy people. And Jesus says in verse 4, he must needs go through Samaria. He walked through the mountainous area, and it wasn't an easy journey. I'm thankful that Jesus came to me. How about you? Are you glad Jesus came to you? And somebody had to press through that fight, the devil's hindering, to give the gospel message to you. For me, it was a man by the name of Ben Bounds. He had a vacation Bible school in Orlando, Florida, on a hot, humid summer day. And he gave the gospel, and he asked that question, how many of you boys and girls want to know for sure you can go to heaven? And he told us we were sinners. And you know, at 10 years old, I knew I was a sinner. I don't know about you, but you know, I had failed many times. I've told you the stories. And guess what? We're still sinners. Everybody in this room today is a sinner. I don't care where you've been, where you've come from, or what you've done. There's none righteous, no, not one. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, we're sinners, but thank God we have a Savior who shed his blood on that cross. I think I might just clear off a spot right here and try to help you. What is the gospel, the good news, that Jesus loved you and died for your sin? He cared for you. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. And Jesus Christ paid for our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. Yes, he did die for you. He was nailed to that cross, but what kept him on that cross was his love for you and me. Oh, I want to tell you the good news. Jesus went up there for you and for me. And the nails didn't hold him on the cross. The love that he had for you and me held him on there. And he finished what he started out to do. And he says in the Bible, I love them until the end, to the end. He finished what he started out to do. Oh, it didn't stop there, did it? They took him down. They wrapped him in linen. You remember Nicodemus in chapter 3 that got saved. He was changed. And also Joseph of Arimathea, and they bound him up in those spices and everything, laid him in a borrowed tomb. He wouldn't need it very long, folks. Put him in a borrowed tomb. Put him in there in that tomb by himself, because if there was anybody else in there when he rose from the dead, they would have come out of the grave too, right? And Jesus stayed in there 72 hours, 3 days, 3 nights, and then he came up out of the tomb. He arose. The Rose of Sharon arose that morning, well before dawn. And I'm thankful that he died and he was buried and he rose again. That's the gospel. That's what he did for us. And he loves you. And if you'll just accept him, amen. But as many as received him, to them gave he him glory to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And his power is not dried up. He still has the power to save you. Amen. He can forgive you and make you to have purpose in life. I don't care who you are. This woman was a sinner he was coming to see. And many commentators believe that it might have been Mary Magdalene whom he cast out those demons. And you remember how her whole life was totally changed. And I don't know that for sure. I think we'll know when we get to heaven, won't we? But I know this, that Jesus still has the power to save. And that's his purpose. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Let's go back to our text in John 4. And it says here, if thou just knewest the gift of God, verse 10, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know, when you get saved, you'll never regret it. Can I get an amen right there? You'll never be sorry for accepting the gift of God. By the way, it's free to us. It cost Jesus something. It cost his life. He shed his blood. But when we receive it, it's a free gift. The wages of sin is death. But the what? The gift of God is eternal life. You say, what are you preaching about? I'm trying to get you to receive that gift of eternal life so you can be in heaven with us and with the Lord, and you're not separated from God. But you live in heaven where there's no more pain, no more passing out, no more cancer, no more no more night, no more sin. Heaven is a wonderful place, and you can go there if you'll trust Jesus. It's not in your religion. It's not in your baptism. It's not in trying to be a good moral person, although those things are good. But that won't save you. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need a personal Savior, a personal relationship. How many times, church, do I sit up here and, or stand up here and say, it's not, religion has sent more people to hell than anything. Well, I'm a good Baptist. That won't get you to heaven. Well, I'm a good Catholic. That won't get you to heaven. Putting money in the offering plate won't get you to heaven. There's only one way, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, right? You have to have Him, or you'll not make it. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. You can accept that gift. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? He dug it, didn't he? Jacob dug that well, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, see, that's referring to Jacob's well, right? Shall thirst again. And friends, that's why people are searching to satisfy their soul. And it doesn't satisfy, truly, it just pacifies. They go from this woman or this man or this drug or this drink, or they'll go from things and maybe it's covetousness, you know, I need this four-wheeler, I need this dune buggy, I need this motorcycle, I need this job, I need this career, I need this, I need this, I need this, I want this, and they're never satisfied. What they're really thirsty for is a relationship with only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can change your life and make you whole. So he's witnessing to this woman, and he says down here, the well is deep. Sir, I have nothing to draw with. And let's read down verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Well, the answer to that, yes, Jesus is greater. Amen. Greater. He's the creator. Praise God. Amen, Amy. Thank you for Amy being here. Praise the Lord. He's the only true and wise God. I'm talking about Jesus. People nowadays are worshiping the creature more than the creator. Tree huggers and whatever huggers they are. They're coming up empty. They need God. They need a true God. Greater than Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. I was going to say Jesus owns the cattle. He owns the hills. He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He owns the taters. Yeah, I'm from Kentucky. He owns the taters under the hill. He owns it all. Everything you have that's good, God's given it to you, right? He said, Jesus in verse 13 answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The well won't run dry. It won't become stagnant and have spiders all over it. Hey, Jesus' water is refreshing, and it's springing up. Spring up, O well. That's the water of life that Jesus gives. Only He can give it. And the woman saith unto him, verse 15, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband. He said, wait a minute. We need to recognize we're sinners, don't we? Yeah. Hey, we are guilty. And you need to recognize that you're lost before you can get saved. Amen. And so if you don't recognize you're lost, and friends, if you're honest before God, you'll recognize that you've come short. You've missed the target.
Right.
How many times, okay, have you lied?
Yeah.
Bore false witness? How many times have you had an evil thought? Men, women, how many times have you wanted to hurt somebody, angered? How many times have you disobeyed your parents? How many times have you taken his name in vain? We're all guilty. How many times have you coveted? I went on a visit the other day, and I've been praying about a dirt bike for a long time, Brother David. You know one of them dirt bikes? Honda 300s. And my brother said, hey, Greg, he wants one too. He's 74. But he said, Greg, you don't need no dirt bike. You'll be done broke a leg or something like that, you know. Be out there in the desert, run into a cactus or something. We went on a visit, and lo and behold, the guy was sitting outside waiting on us to come up, and his little garage door was open where he keeps his golf carts. In there, lo and behold, was a brand new, bright and shiny Honda 300, one that I would like. Not like his, but one like his, you know. I said, oh, man, that's so nice. Electric start, you know, everything. And I said, Kathy, oh, that, you know what I was doing? I was coveting. I was coveting after that. I didn't want his. I wanted one like his. But still yet, what's the Lord want me to have, you know? And and all of you have done it. I spoke in Sunday school about the devil tempting us. And if you're not wanting to buy a car, then you ought not be going by the car dealership test driving some. Amen. That's right. The devil keep knocking, won't he? All right. Woman, where's your husband? And she said, rightly, she didn't have one husband. How many did she have? Five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. Let's see here. The woman saith unto him, well, Jesus, verse 16, saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou'st well said. You know, you might as well be honest, right? Because God sees everything. I say God sees everything anyway. He knows. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. Truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say, in Jerusalem, in this place where men ought to worship. You know what? Jesus was a mighty preacher and a mighty prophet, but he was more than that. He's the only begotten Son of God. Verse 21, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what ye know, what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, even to this day. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You know what, folks? The true Messiah, the only Messiah, Jesus Christ, was standing right in front of that woman. The one that has come to save, Jesus Christ. Verse 25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Well, Jesus just told her. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not is not this the Christ? That woman got saved. Glory to God. She found Christ, Adolfo. And it didn't stop there because a lot of other people getting saved here. And when you get saved, you should want to tell others about the Lord. Amen. You should want to keep the main thing instead of getting hindered and sidetracked from the main thing, which is people coming to Christ. Look at verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Amen. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And I can say this, that Jesus Christ did finish what he started. We've got a lasagna waiting on us when we get home here just a little bit. And it's smelling good before we even came to church. And some rolls. We're going to bring Robert over there. I hope you're hungry, Robert. Robert, the organ player. And I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? People getting saved is more important than the physical food. Let's keep the main thing. And then a wonderful mission text right here. Look at verse 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He says, say not ye. Friends, what the Lord's telling us is now's the time of salvation. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Well, we don't need a missions conference. Oh, yes, we need a missions conference, and we need it quick, don't we? So that we can spread the word. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We're having 2 missionaries going to Mexico, 2 going to Africa, some of the restricted, dangerous parts of Africa. And those people are reaching out their hands spiritually in their hearts saying, I need that water. I'm thirsty. And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? You see, the missions conference is the biggest thing this church will ever do. It's the most unselfish, and it is the Great Commission, and the Great Commission is still great. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus is still in the business of spreading the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world. Look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest. Verse 36, will you bear me liberty? I'm still within time zone here, so let me finish this chapter with God's help. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Paul said, it's not that I want to do anything for myself, not that I'm looking for a gift, Paul said in Philippians, but I'm looking for fruit that it may abound to your account. And when these Mexican souls and African souls get saved, when you've given to the Lord, one day you're going to get up to heaven. They're going to come tap you on the shoulder and say, thank you for giving to the Lord through Western Hills Baptist Church, through the worldwide mission evangelism program of Western Hills Baptist Church. Because you gave and you loved and you cared, I'm in heaven today because some missionary came and told me that sweet story. So you're going to reap one day the wages and gather fruit, verse 36, unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. There's a song that we've sung around here, The Value of One, strike up the choir. By the way, wasn't it good to hear Justin playing the trumpet? Amen. I said, wasn't it good to hear Justin playing the trumpet? He did pretty good. I didn't find no fault with him. I find no fault with that trumpet. It's just a blessing. I'm trying to help you, Brother Justin. Trying to help you with your cardio and all your blood flow and all that and your blood pressure and all that. Have you ever tried to play a trumpet? It's not easy if you've never tried it, boy. It takes a stiff lip and it takes a lot of wind. Amen. I was coming to church. Okay, sidetrack. Okay, he's right here, sidetrack. I was coming to church, and we turned the air conditioner off because it was cool out on the other side of town. And guess what happened, brothers and sisters? My window started fogging up. Now, my wife didn't say it. She's too sweet. But I said, I've just got a lot of hot air in me, I guess. I had to turn the air conditioner back on because of all the hot air just coming down the road. But, oh, friends, sound the horn. A sinner has come home. You know, they're building a mansion when a sinner gets saved. Where are we at? Verse 37. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans. See, it wasn't just the woman at the well. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. She was a soul winner. So Jesus did without food. He must needs go through Samaria, a Samaritan. And then this woman got saved. And now, yes, because of her testimony. But some of them said it wasn't because of your testimony. It was because of what I heard. They had seen the miracles of Jesus. Let's see verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this indeed is indeed the Christ. What's he say right there? The Savior of the world. And friends, dear beloved, men and women and young people, he is still the Savior of the world. I'll say that. He's still the Savior, the only Savior. All those other people, those phony, false founders of these false religions, hey, old Buddha, he's in the grave. Oh, Joseph Smith, he's still in the grave. They never rose from the dead. All the founders of all those religions, listen, except Christianity, Christ, he's risen from the dead. And we have new life in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's finish. Verse 43. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet hath no honor in his own country. And when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into the Cana of Galilee. That's where he performed that first miracle, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. For he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see the signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have? Is your faith increasing? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. 4 times in the Bible, the just shall live by faith. This man believed. What are you dealing with right now? Do you believe God is able to help you through this? Is it financial? Is it a child, a grandchild? Is it some infirmity? Do you really believe that the Lord can do it? A bunch of us got around Miss Hattie's brother, Martin. Prayed. Was that Friday night? And we had some God-fearing people calling out to God. We weren't demanding the Lord like some do. Hey, man has no power to heal. Can I tell you that? We don't believe in the supernatural sign gifts that they had in those days. God may heal or he may not. We pray for the will of the Lord to be done. Now we ask the Lord respectfully, Lord, if you'd see fit, this man wants to serve you, if you'll give him some more time. Who was that in the Bible? Hezekiah, he prayed, he was diseased in his feet. One of them, and he prayed, God gave him 15 more years, right? God's able to save. And we prayed, the saints got together, and we lived there. There are four of them right there. We all prayed, and as far as I know, he's out of intensive care, and he's back in a normal room, praise the Lord. Maybe the Lord will be merciful. But I believe in prayer, and we all need more faith, that's for sure. I'm sorry I got sidetracked, but it's what the Bible says, amen. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Verse 51, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. I invite your attention back to verse 15. And the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I believe it was in the late 1700s and 1800s. Take your hymn book and go to hymn number 19. There was a man by the name of William Cowper, and he wrote this song, and it's called There Is a Fountain. This man struggled. Come ahead, pianist, and we're going to have an invitation. Come on up here and get ready. But he struggled with depression. He struggled with, he had a total breakdown, and he didn't want to live. He tried to commit suicide several times, and he lived. He was not successful. By the way, suicide is a lie of the devil. What's Satan trying to do? Take you to hell. You hurt a lot of innocent people, a lot of people that love you. And I'll tell you this, if you've ever had those suicidal thoughts, recognize who's telling you that. The devil is a liar. And you need to hold on, because there is hope in Jesus. There's hope. This man tried to commit suicide that wrote this song. One thing he found that the scriptures helped him. Comforted him. He found out that a relationship with Jesus was what he really needed. He was thirsty. He was thirsty, not for the physical water, for the spiritual water. He wrote this song. Look on verse 1 of 19 here. 19 in the hymn book. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. You know what? I don't care where you've been or what you've done. It can be forgiven. Jesus can forgive you. Wherever you've been, if you'll just believe on him. Verse 2, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Verse 3, dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Verse 4, ere since by faith, that's the way you receive him. Oh, listen to this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're depending on your works to get you to heaven, or your communion, or your duty, or whatever it is, when you get up to heaven and you tell the Lord, well, I did this and I did that, He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Friends, if we could work our way to heaven, why did Jesus go to the cross of Calvary? Why did He shed His blood? Where's the cutoff? How much do you have to do? It's only through the blood of Jesus. Verse 4, ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Verse 5, then in a nobler, sweeter song I'll sing the power to save. When this poor, lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, lies silent in the grave. Friends, you don't have to die and go to hell. You can go to heaven. And He wants you to be in heaven. Let's stand to our feet. It's time to quit, but hey, it's not over yet until the invitation, and Jesus never hesitated to give an invitation. If you need to come today, why don't you come? There's room for you at the cross. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with something. Why don't you get saved today? Today's the day of salvation. Maybe you'd like to come and pray. Pray for our missions conference. Why don't you come? Whatever God's laid on your heart, you can come today. Father, bless your invitation. Have your will in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, the piano plays. Come right now. Come on. The altars are open. God bless you, brother. God bless you.